Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, we've been to Tim Hortons. We've got Tim Hortons. I've got a double-double, because that's what Canadians drink. What have you got, Canadian?
Just a black coffee with a sweetener. I'm trying to do...
Jesse's doing keto, as he says.
Fasting and keto, and it's working really well.
I was going to say, you do look malnourished, so well done.
It's...
Congratulations on the malnourishment.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm so fucking tired. Oh, my God.
Jesse, I don't know if you've got... idea of the pattern emerging here. Jesse is always tired.
I'm always tired.
Yeah.
I don't sleep well. Oh, I'm going to sleep well tonight, though.
Do you know what we should do to sleep better?
What?
Just get really drunk.
That is fun.
It's a healthy advice.
Yep. Thank you, Reese. You should start your own health show.
Alcohol, the cure of every illness.
How's that science show that you're narrating?
Good.
You can't talk about it, can you?
I can.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about
The first episode is about energy poverty and about how science can...
About what? What is it?
Energy poverty.
Energy poverty?
Yeah. So people who can't afford to heat their homes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't... Okay.
What do you think it was going to be? It's a science show.
I thought it was like a scientific thing.
It is about science. It's like a guy talking from Tesla about battery technology.
Like energy poverty, I thought was kind of be about like negative mass or like negative energy or something like that.
Because
like a reduction in energetic sort of flow.
There's a good point, but you're wrong. Okay. So. I got a question for you. Have you ever seen the TV show The Americans?
Are we just talking about like the time when Trump was on the news every day? Because that's my parents' favorite show.
The TV show, did your parents love Trump?
No, they just love the show, which is America. They can't stand Trump, but they think it's the most entertaining show.
They realize that America is actually a country, not...
Is it, though?
Televised entertainment.
Really? Is it? Because it's the best television out there. The shit that comes out of that place is amazing. Like, come on. Like a writer's room couldn't come up with this stuff.
Let's American listeners, I'm sorry for Jesse. 7% of our listeners are from America. Our audience dropped 7%.
They know damn well how crazy their
American
country
listeners
is.
Send us an email, CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com, and I will punch Jesse's aura.
No, my aura,
okay, right in the aura. Right.
Yeah, that'd be all right. No, I have a lot of American. I don't have a lot of Americans. I have a small handful of American friends, and they know how crazy their country is. They're not under any delusions.
I think it is a regional thing.
like every region in the States is.
Well, I think there are regions that have issues and regions that are less issued. But I'm from the UK.
Like Maine. Maine's
okay. If you want to visit a crazy country, go to the UK.
Okay.
Craziest thing I've ever seen in the UK, I'm trying to think now. Boris Johnson.
Can't beat the States. Can't.
Boris Johnson.
Yeah, he's a Muppet, sure. But, like, you can't beat Florida Man. You're aware of Florida Man, right?
I am aware of Florida Man. The legendary Florida Man. This episode, I ask you the question, have you seen the TV show The Americans?
I have not, no.
It's a
this coffee is starting to hit me. That's great.
There we go. So it's a drama about two sleeper agents. They're actually active agents. So
what's the difference?
It's set in the 80s. It's an American upper middle class.
Is this a true story?
Well, the TV show isn't, but it's based on a true story. So they're essentially spies, but they live the existence of a normal upper middle class American family. So they kind of like they watch sports and do all the family stuff, and they have kids. And as far as everyone knows, they run a travel agents, but actually they're spies for Russia during the Cold War. And that was based. That's a TV show, but it's actually based on a real thing. So
that happened in Canada.
Yes, Canada and America. So it was a thing called the Illegals Program. Have you heard of the Illegals Program?
No.
The Illegals Program was essentially individuals and families who were posing as perfectly normal citizens and families with a background. As if they'd always lived there and been fully American the whole time they were there, were born there, raised there. They'd assumed identities of people who died and lived a life there. And then they were actively called to spy, but no one would suspect them as a foreign agent. They were seen as being of that country. This is the story of two brothers whose parents were in the Illegals program.
All right.
Tim and Alex Foley.
Alex Foley.
Tim and Alex Foley.
Alex Foley.
Yes. That's their names, Tim and Alex Foley.
Am I getting that right? Am I?
You're thinking of Axel Foley.
That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you.
No. What was the name of that film? I can't think of Eddie Murphy. Did you know that film was supposed to be serious and they cast Eddie Murphy in the role and he made it what it was?
Oh, wow. I just know
that. With sheer force of personality.
Beverly Hills Cop.
He made it. It was pretty, like, you know, lots of people died, but he made it more of a comedy.
I had no idea. That's really funny.
Yeah. Tim and his brother Alex were, this is the 27th of June, 2010. So Tim was turning 20.
And him and his
parents took him and his brother, Alex, out for lunch to an Indian restaurant not far from their home in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Both brothers had been born in Canada, but the family had moved to the United States. And their father, Donald Heathfield, had studied in Paris and Harvard and had a senior role in a consultancy firm in Boston.
Okay.
So normal American family.
Right.
Or were they? I think we've already established that they weren't. Their mother, Tracy, had spent most of her years kind of focused on raising the kids. And then she took a job as a realtor. And they seemed like an ordinary American family, but with Canadian roots. And they liked to travel a lot. So Alex was only 16. After the lunch, they returned home and Alex, I was going to be called him Axel.
Do it.
So Alex,
do it.
Alex had just come back from a student exchange program in Singapore, and they opened a bottle of champagne because Tim was turning 20. So perfect, lovely, lovely family setup.
Mm-hmm.
And they were tired because they'd had a bit of a party the night before as well. So they went upstairs. Tim went upstairs to message his friends to let them know he was tired. He was trying to make plans for the night, couldn't decide whether to go or not. And then there was a knock at the door, and Tim's mother called up.
Hold on. I'm just thinking, like,
there was a knock. Then there was a knock at the door.
Right. No, but you got to slow it down, Reese. You got to, like, hold on. He's going upstairs to message his friends to find out what to do for that night. And then.
There was a knock at the door.
There was a knock at the door.
See that?
Everyone stopped what they were doing. The dog stopped barking. The fireplace went cold and quiet. The lights flickered out. And the door knocked one more time. Alex put his pants on very, very quickly, ran downstairs.
A team of armed black-clad men holding a battering ram. They streamed into the house screaming, FBI! Another team entered from the back. The men dashed upstairs, shouting everyone had to put their hands in the air. And Tim heard the knock and the shouting. He thought that it was the police, and they were going to get him for
it. This is way better than what I was expecting.
So Tim thought, because his parents had let him have champagne and he was 20, they were breaking the door down because they were drinking underage.
It's not drinking underage. He's 20.
Oh, this is in the States.
Yeah, we got 21.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Get the task force together. There's someone drinking at 20 years old.
Like, to celebrate
with their family.
But also, he did a party the night before as well, so he thought he might be to do that. But he realized that the FBI were there for something completely different. So their parents were put in handcuffs and driven. They were all driven away in separate black cars.
This is very exciting.
Tim and Alex were left in the house with some agents, and they did a 24-hour forensic search of the home and put them in a hotel room. And all they told them was that their parents had been arrested for being unlawful agents from a foreign government. This is all true, by the way.
Amazing.
This isn't a movie.
So what did his parents actually do? Are you getting to that?
Well, that was it. So they heard on the radio 10 days later.
Who did? The kids?
The kids. Well, they heard on the radio a few days later that 10 Russian spies had been rounded up across the US by FBI.
So these were Canadians that were originally from Russia that moved from Canada into the States.
No, they were Russians.
They were Russians.
Who would basically...
Were they from Canada, though?
No, they moved to Canada, and then they'd come down to the US from Canada.
That's what I just said.
No, you said they were Canadians.
You can be Russian and a Canadian.
No, but they weren't. No, but what I'm saying is they were new Canadians, and then they moved to...
So they were originally Russians who lived in Canada, and then moved to the States.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So... And this the FBI operation to catch them was called Operation Ghost Stories, which is a good name.
That is a good
name. Did you do that one? Was that you?
No, I like that, though. That's good. I like that. Why is that called that? Is there ghosts involved in this? We should do a paranormal podcast. I think that'd be fun.
I've done a paranormal podcast for like 5 years before.
That means it'll work?
Yeah.
So
I was open to the possibility of ghosts until I spent loads of time in haunted buildings and saw nothing. And now I just think you die and that's it.
The end. That's the end of that new podcast.
Anyway. So they found out that Donald Heathfield and Tracy Foley, which was their parents' names, were actually Canadians who died long ago.
Hold on. Say this again. Who said, okay, start over. So, I was thinking about ghosts.
So Tim and his brother Alex.
Axel.
They thought their parents were called Donald Heathfield and Tracy Foley. But they found out that those two names belonged to Canadians who'd died long ago. And they'd had their identity stolen and adopted their names for themselves and their identities.
It's actually, yeah... at least back in the 90s, there was a book called the Anarchist's Cookbook.
Well, How to Steal Somebody's Identity.
Someone was telling me about this. And apparently in that book, it tells you how, like, you can, if you find a dead person, you can request the death certificate. And if you have the death certificate, you can, I forget how it went.
Say it was an accident, you were actually alive?
No, you could, like, if you got the death certificate, then there was a chain of events that if you went to the right people in the government, you could eventually get a birth certificate and then like a new SIN number, et cetera, et cetera. You could basically claim to be them somehow. I've never done it. It sounded fun.
Just want to say, don't try and claim the identity of a dead person. I want to just give that advice.
Is that going to be today's call to action?
Today's call to action. Don't steal the identity of a dead person. So the real names of his parents were Andre Bezrukov and Elena Vavilova.
I love when you try to pronounce different language
Andre
names.
Andrei Bezrukov and Elena Vavilova.
I mean, it's better than your French, I'll say that.
They were both born in the Soviet Union.
Pretty cool names.
I know, but they were born in the Soviet Union. They undergone training in the KGB. They were dispatched abroad as part of a Soviet program of deep cover secret agents known in Russia as the Illegals. And after a slow-burning career build-up in ordinary North American background. They were active agents for the SVR, the Foreign Spy Agency of the modern Russia, the successor of the KGB, along with eight other agents. And they'd been betrayed by a Russian spy who defected to the Americans. That's the only reason they were discovered.
Wow.
They'd grown up as ordinary Canadians.
How long were they in Canada for?
Well, for a fair chunk of their childhood. So,
these are the parents we're talking about.
These are the kids. The parents had gone there and pretend. So Alex and Tim had grown up as ordinary Canadians before they moved to America. So they were then, so essentially they were sent back to even though they'd grown up as Canadians, they were sent to Russia. Their mother told them that it was a good way to escape the media circus. So they boarded a plane to Moscow. They were unsure what to expect. They'd never met a Russian before. Alex said it was a really terrifying moment. You're sitting on a plane, you have a few hours to kill, you don't know what's coming. You just sit there and think. So they were greeted by a group of people who introduced themselves as colleagues of their parents. So like, hi, we're spies. and they were told to trust them. Trust me. which is always reassuring. And then they were taken away in a van. And they showed us photos of their parents in their 20s in uniform with medals.
Did they meet back up with their parents?
Well, that was it. I think they were in contact with their parents and everything here, but they didn't believe that it was true. They thought until the Russian services showed them their medals and photos of their parents in Russia. Oh, as young people, that was the point where they finally believed.
Were their parents put in jail? Or?
They were in America, obviously, but then they were sent over to
where they were celebrated.
Hey, Jesse, do you know what time it is?
What time is it, Reese?
Ad time.
Yay!
No, that's back after these important things.
Ads.
They were taken to an apartment and told to make themselves at home, and then they were shown around Moscow. They took them to museums and the ballet, and then an uncle and a cousin came to visit. A grandmother also dropped by who spoke no English, and they didn't speak any Russian, so they were like, oh, these are your family you've never met who are from Russia.
Oh, wow.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're 16 and 20, that's a lot to go through. Your body's already going through some deep changes.
What's the drinking age in Russia?
2. I don't know. I'm going to Google it.
Google it. Googling. Reese is Googling things. Reese Googling things.
Drinking age in Russia. 18.
Oh, no.
That's pretty sensible.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So there's the first.
So the 20-year-old is taking all this in with like a grain of salt and a liter of vodka.
this whole, I mean, imagine you grew up in Canada.
Hmm.
And then you move to America. So you're pretty North American. And then you're told that your family are actually all in Russia and your parents are spies the whole time.
Yeah, that's fucked.
And then you have to go to Moscow and you're shown around Moscow by essentially, you know, spies.
While your parents are
in jail.
In Russia?
No, in the US. They sent the kids over to Russia. And apparently Canada was a common place for illegals to go to build up their legend of being an ordinary Western citizen. So they come to Canada and they'd use Canada as a great place to practice the accent and not only that,
but it's kind of like, you know, where are you from? Oh, we're from Canada.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Oh, they're a bit different up there.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we are.
So they had two main functions as illegals, to aid in communication between the embassy KGB officers and the US sources, and to be sleeper cells for a potential special period of war between the US and the Soviet Union. They could then spring into action. So Tim and Alex were given Russian passports in December 2010. Suddenly they became Timofey and Alexander Vavilov. So their names were changed on their passports to be more Russian.
Wow.
Please
tell me these guys became spies themselves.
No, well, this is what we're getting to, is their story. So they were given, they couldn't even pronounce it.
So when
they couldn't pronounce their own names.
Hold on, I want to go back to the parents. When the parents were sent back to Russia, were they like just released? Like, you're free to go, you're not in prison anymore. What were they arrested for? Spying. So when they went back to Russia, they wouldn't be put in jail in Russia.
No, they would have just been treated like heroes.
Right, that's what I wanted to know, yeah. Okay.
Tim said he had an identity crisis, and he managed to...
He was given a new name.
Yeah, exactly.
Why couldn't he just keep his name?
It's a definition of an identity crisis.
Right, like, just keep your name.
He managed to transfer to...
Hold on. Really? Why are they changing these kids' names?
Because they gave him passports, because they were like, you're Russians now. You've always been Russians. Stop being Canadian.
Slash American.
But that doesn't...
Yeah.
I'm keeping my name. So Tim managed to transfer to a Russian university to complete his degree, because he was in university at the time. So he managed to carry on and do his degree while he was there. And then Alex, his brother, wasn't as lucky. He finished high school at a British international school in Moscow, but didn't want to stay in Russia. And he applied for university in Canada, but was told he would first have to apply for a new birth certificate and then a citizenship certificate. And they could only renew his... That's the only way they could renew his Canadian passport. And he applied for a four-year student visa to the University of Toronto with his Russian passport, even though he thought he was Canadian because he was born in Canada.
So wouldn't he have a SIN number and a birth certificate?
No, because his parents were spies in an improbable spy scheme called the Illegals, where they assumed the identities of dead people and built a lie over decades.
He wasn't, though. He was born in Canada.
I know, but this is like... This has never happened before. This is a gray area.
Yeah, but you'd think that'd be really, really easy to prove. Like, you're not allowed in Canada because your parents are different. Like, yeah, that's my... Okay, we'll talk about my parents in a second. How about me? Where was I born? I can prove that pretty easily if you just go through your records. That's really weird that he had to come in as a foreign student when he is a Canadian. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And easily proven. Like, that's a phone call. No.
Yeah, well,
that's weird, man.
This is what happened. So he got the visa to study, and just before he planned to leave for Canada from Moscow to go to university in Toronto, mm-hmm. 4 days before, he received a phone call from the Canadian Embassy in Moscow saying he needed to come for an interview. And the meeting was really hostile. They questioned him about his life and his parents, and they actually took the visa away from him right in front of him in that meeting. He lost his place in university, and then he was rejected for French and British visas. And he was accepted twice to the London School of Economics, but couldn't get a visa twice. And that's a really good school. That's not an easy school to get into.
Wow.
And he eventually...
So they thought he was a spy now too? Is that what the point of the interview was? Just some pricks taking their aggression out on somebody.
No. So eventually he was able to get a visa to study in different parts of Europe. But he traveled mainly in Asia, where he could visit kind of visa-free with a Russian passport. But the brothers, basically because of all this, they were like, we want our Canadian citizenship. We're Canadians. We want our citizenship.
Right.
So they started a battle. They said the battle wasn't about logistics. They said that they don't feel Russian, they feel Canadian.
Especially after the way Russia treated them.
Take them to the ballet.
Fuckers.
Alex said, I feel like I've been stripped of my own identity for something I had nothing to do with. Tim said, I lived for 20 years believing I was a Canadian. I still believe I'm a Canadian. Nothing can change that. I do not have any attachment to Russia. I do not speak the language. I do not know many friends there. I have not lived there for any extended period of time.
So hold on.
And I do not want to live there.
So when he was being hostily interviewed by Russian, I forget who you said... interviewed him, but like, was it all in Russian? Was it just angry people screaming at him in a language he didn't understand? Because that'd be kind of funny.
Well, when he had the interview in the embassy.
Yeah.
No, it was the Canadian embassy.
Oh, it was the Canadian. Oh, so it was the Canadians the were Canadian fucking embassy. With him?
Yeah.
Oh.
So the Canadian. Well,
and he wanted to move back to Canada?
Oh, yeah, he's like, hi, I'm Canadian. My parents were spies, but I obviously wasn't because...
And then they just got the Canadians fucked with. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not... I'm not okay with that.
No.
That's... Oh, fuck you, Canada.
So... Anyone
know better. You should know better. Ta.
So anyone born in Canada is eligible for Canadian citizenship, with one exception, those who are born to employees of foreign governments. Because their parents were spies, they weren't allowed. So the brother's Toronto-based lawyer argued that it's ridiculous to apply the provision to their case. The whole point of the law is to prevent those who don't have the responsibilities of citizenship from enjoying its privileges. Basically just saying... that you can't apply this rule to this situation.
Right. This is
because they weren't knowingly the children of employees. They didn't. Nobody knew they were employees of another government.
Right. So this will be interesting to hear the outcome of this, because from what I've been told a bunch, the difference between American court systems and Canadian court systems is, and again, you know,
yeah,
this is hearsay, but American court systems follow the letter of the law, no matter what. The letter of the law is followed, where in Canada,
law is brought to you by the letter A.
In Canada, we follow the spirit of the law.
Yeah.
Right. So like in that instance, yeah, you could follow the letter of the law and these guys would be denied. But the lawyer is trying to argue the spirit of the law. Like, yeah, that's not the intention going for. So what was the outcome?
December 2019.
Dun, dun. I was trying to do the Law and Order sound from my mouth. So but that just did not work at all.
The Canadian Supreme Court ruled the judges decided that Mr. Vavilov was a Canadian citizen.
Yay!
And they upheld in an earlier federal court ruling.
Which brother was this?
Mm-hmm. This was, I think, both of them. Both of them were trying to get their citizenship. So the decision to strip Vavilov of citizenship was unreasonable. The government appealed the decision. It's like, well, thanks, government.
That's awesome.
After 10 years of fighting for my most basic rights.
10 years?
I can take a moment. Yeah, because this all kicked off in 2010. So he didn't get his citizenship till he was like 30.
Wow.
And his brother was like 26. So after 10 long years of fighting my most basic rights, I can take a moment's rest. I feel vindicated that the courts ultimately supported my own beliefs regarding my citizenship, Alex told the Guardian by telephone, which is a newspaper in the UK. I feel like I've been stripped of my own identity for something I had nothing to do with. It's been many difficult years, and I'm sure I'll still have many challenges to face, but I can finally, once again, indisputably and confidently call myself a Canadian. I hope this can be another step in my goal to regain a normal life where I'm no longer harassed in the name of political differences. So
that's a nice ending to that story.
Yeah. So they became Canadian. The brothers became Canadian. And if you're a secret spy, you have children, just think about what you're doing. Those poor boys. I'm not a Welsh spy. I just want to say this.
To be fair, they've got one hell of a story.
I think they should sell the rights to Hollywood.
They should.
And a book.
Oh, right, my God, yes. Right. But they should be writing this book right now.
I mean, maybe they got paid by the TV show The Americans, which is a really good TV show.
I should go watch it. Is it on Netflix?
It's really good. The lead actor is... The lead actor, Matthew Rhys, is Welsh.
Where can I see it?
It's on Amazon Prime, I
think. Oh, is it? I'll check it out.
It's on Optimus Prime.
That's another good streaming service. Just nonstop Transformers. Nonstop 24 hours a day, yeah.
Optimus Prime Plus. What do you think of that story?
That was great. Yeah. These are getting... You're getting me some juicy stories here, Rhys. I got to say, I'm appreciating it. Although, like, you're getting me when I'm really, really tired. But, like, I'm perking up. I'm like, what? This is like, yeah, I don't know.
So many twists. So many turns. When will we stop? When Jesse learns.
That's
my song. That was the Illegals program. Only one more episode tomorrow. And then you have to wait for our beautiful voices once a week as normal.
Right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this this 10 days. Oh, it's been 9, so we get one more. Yeah, excited.
One more day, so...
And then we can sleep.
So you have... Today's call to action is stop spying and assuming the identities of dead people.
If you're a spy and your kids don't know, maybe have a chat with them.
Just tell them.
Tell them. It's okay. Just say,
hey, listen, if the FBI ever break the door down and come and arrest us and take us all away separately in big black cars... It's because I'm a spy. I should just tell my kids that anyway. Just say, Daddy's a secret spy for the Welsh government.
Like, honestly, God, who's going to believe your kids, right? Like,
oh, exactly. My dad's a spy. No, he's...
Right?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I've seen him.
It's right.
I've seen him when he picks you up. He's not a spy.
It's funny because, honest to God, if you're a kid and you're bragging that your parents are spies, seriously, no one's like... When I was a kid, I was in elementary school and I was talking about how, you know, both my parents were comedians, which I've talked about on the show. And like my great uncle was the premier of Nova Scotia.
You did say,
yeah. So like I was saying stuff like this to my teachers And then during a parent-teacher meeting, they brought my parents over, and they're like, look, Jesse's been telling some pretty big lies. He says that his father is General John Cametrail and that his great-uncle is the premier. And they're like, yeah, no, that's all true. And the teacher's like, what? Well, that's the point. It's like, nobody fucking believed me. I'm a kid.
No, right? Exactly.
So why you're a spy, just fucking tell your kids, man.
Whereas when I was in school... You just, especially when I went to like comprehensive school, which would be like junior high to high school, then you just kept your head down. If you just said something outlandish like, my parents are spies. Yeah. You just get punched in the face.
So, I mean, that'll teach the kids there.
And you'd look at the teacher and go, look what they did. And the teacher would go, that's what you get for saying something stupid.
Yeah, don't say your parents are spies.
Lesson over. You get an A.
An A in...
An A in life.
I'm getting punched in the face.
So, cool. Well, anyway, don't punch people in the face.
That's a class that I'd like to fail.
Life?
Getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
Welcome to getting punched in the face class.
Yeah, but if you fail it, you might have to redo it again.
Well, it just means I won't get punched in the face.
No, you have to redo it.
If I get punched in the face, then I'll get a good mark. But if I don't manage to get punched in the face, then I'll fail the class. But then I have to redo it over and over
again. I'm confused by this imaginary subject.
So if I pass the punched in the face class, that means I've gotten punched square in the face.
Oh, no, I interpret it as you pass the punched in the face class if you can take a punch to the face. If you pass out, then you fail.
Oh.
You will get punched in the face.
You would regardless. It's how you take that punch. Oh, I see. Okay. That makes much more sense.
Unless you did a backflip to avoid it, and they were just so impressed.
I would, yeah.
They were like, no one can punch you. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You get A+, yeah.
What's your name? No, my dad's Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's why I believe in me backflip to avoid a punch. Anyway.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.